All right, welcome everyone. And your friends, when they come, help them catch up. So the topic for today is live like the apostles. And a week ago on Monday, we celebrated the feast of the apostles, right? That was the martyrdom of which two saints? Saints Peter and Paul, okay? So that ends our fast of the apostle on the day that we commemorate the martyrdom of Saints Peter and St. Paul, which is July 12th. Now you see their icon, that's Saint, which one is St. Peter and which one is St. Paul? So you see one of the icons, he's holding the keys. So the Lord said to St. Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. So in his icon, he's drawn holding a key. St. Paul wrote 14 epistles in the New Testament. So he's shown holding scrolls. And of course, our first pope of the Coptic Church is St. Mark, also an apostle. In his icon, you see many things. You see in St. Mark's icon the lion, because he, for a number of reasons, one of which is he starts his gospel talking about the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. His gospel is also symbolized by a lion because he wrote to the Romans, and in his gospel, 16 chapters, full of exciting things and full of power, like a powerful lion. He focuses on the power of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In his icon, there's a very interesting thing you'll see on his feet. Does anyone notice a difference between one of the two sandals? One of his sandals is broken, which is how Christianity entered the land of Egypt, when St. Mark's sandal was broken. And he had listened to the Lord, who told his disciples, don't take two sandals or knapsacks and stuff. So when his sandal was broken, he went to a cobbler, a gentleman by the name of Ananias. And as the cobbler was trying to fix the sandal, the hammers that he's using missed and hit his own hand, the cobbler's hand. And he cried out, O Theos, which is like, oh my God. So St. Mark used that to preach to him about our Lord Jesus Christ in Christianity. He accepted it, and he became the second pope of the Church of Egypt after St. Mark. Anyway, so we're going to talk about live like the apostles. Do you guys know any names of apostles? You don't know any apostles? How many apostles are there? There's 12 is the right answer. What's another answer?
72.
Both are apostles. There's the 12, which can be called disciples or apostles, and the 70 or 72 apostles. I'm going to read you just from St. Paul's letter to Timothy. There's St. Timothy's icon and St. Paul writing to him. St. Paul says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So we're going to focus here today for the next half hour, 40 minutes or so, on manner of life, how to live like the apostles. In another place, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, imitate me. They could say, why should we imitate you, St. Paul? He says, just as I also imitate Christ. So St. Paul imitates our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Timothy, who is a disciple of St. Paul, imitates St. Paul, who is imitating Christ. And we are all asked, every one of us, to live like the apostles. So like the verse of today, if you forget everything else I'm saying, please try to remember, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. It's a small verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's the reason why we're talking about live like the apostles. Okay, I'm going to force you each to name an apostle. Let's start at the front. An apostle that starts with A-P-O-S-T-L-E-S. An apostle that starts with A. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. That's not a very helpful hint. Okay, Andrew is the brother of Peter. and he was crucified on a cross in the shape of X. That's why he's shown that way in the icon. An apostle that starts with P.
Peter.
Peter. That was too easy. Another one that starts with P. Paul. Excellent. So here we have Saints Peter and Paul. All right. And oops. An apostle that starts with O. Oh, that's a tough one. Honest Fierce is one of the apostles that starts with O. Okay, keep going behind you. An apostle that starts with S. You could say Stephen. Stephen, the first deacon and first martyr. Say it. Stephen starts with S. You could have also said Simon Peter and cheated. T, an apostle that starts with T.
Theodore.
Theodore?
Yeah.
I don't know of an apostle named Theodore, but I'm sure there's a Saint Theodore. But there's Timothy, and there's Timon, an apostle that starts with L. We're getting more difficult here. There's Labaius, whose surname is Thaddeus. There's also an easy one, say it, Luke, one of the four evangelists. Two of the gospel writers, two of the evangelists were of the 12, and two were of the 70. St. Luke was one of the 70. Okay, an apostle that starts with E. I find this very hard. There's St. Evodus. If you look closely under O, that's St. Onesiphorus and St. Evodus. I haven't listened to this audiobook, but I found it online. It talks about their lives. Because we know about certain of the disciples and apostles, their lives. We obviously know about St. Mark. Very well. We don't know the lives of all the apostles. But I'll use the opportunity for E to say that every and each one of us is called again to live like the apostle. Okay? So remember that. What did St. Paul say? Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Excellent. So there's actually, today we're going to play a little word games on the letters A-P-O-S-T-L-E. But here's the there's a list of the apostles that start with A, for example, with P, O, and so on. I've shown in red, I know it doesn't show well on the screen, the ones in red are the ones who are among the 12, and the ones in black are the broader ones among the 70, or like St. Paul. Paul wasn't obviously from the 12 or the 70, but he's a great apostle who was born, as he says, out of due time. So there's the 12... There's the 70. And these names, we don't know the exact name of the 70. We know the names of the 12s. And some of the disciples in the 12 go by different name. Labaius, whose surname was Thaddeus, is actually St. Jude. So we know them by their different names. But anyways, there's a good site in Orthodox Wiki that lists the 70 according to as best as they can pull together and has links to their stories. Okay, so far so good. Now in there, again, I just want to highlight, some people get really hung up. Are they called 12 apostles or 12 disciples or 70? The 12 disciples, disciple means like a pupil of Jesus Christ, the follower of Jesus Christ. For sure there were more than the 12 and the 70 who were following Jesus Christ. We're all disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the 12 disciples were sent to preach, so therefore they are also 12 apostles. Similarly, the 70 apostles, they were sent to preach, they are also disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so don't worry too much about if they're called apostles or disciples, they are all sent by the Lord. Okay, now we're focused, that was the introduction, we're focused on the main core of what we're going to talk about today, which is how to live like the apostles. Okay? Where did we stop with the names? Yes, go ahead.
Can I do P?
Sure.
Praise and pray.
Excellent. Okay, let's keep going. Someone do O. Something that starts with O that we want to do to imitate the apostles, to live with the apostles. Something like that starts with O is a tricky one. Do you want to do A instead? Or anyone. Okay, we'll open it up. Anything that starts with A that we want to do like the apostles. Almsgiving. That's an excellent one. Does anyone know what almsgiving is? Charity. Giving to help out. Excellent. We did P-O. I'm going to say organized. The apostles weren't haphazard. They were organized, just like you guys are organized today. We can't have a spiritual service, or we can't have anything educational or at work without organization. Okay? But organized doesn't mean fully dependent on my skills. Organized, I'm organized, but I can also be dependent on God. So I do my part, but the Lord perfects it. S, something that starts with S, please.
Service,
excellent. All right, something that starts with T at the back there. Anything that starts with T. Could be a verb, could be a noun, anything. The Lord sent them out to teach, excellent, but he sent them out
two
by two. So they were teamwork, two by two. Something that starts with L.
Learn,
okay.
Leadership,
yes. They were not, there's not only leadership, but they were led by the Holy Spirit. Excellent. Now let's do E. You're almost at the finish line. Push it out with E. Don't say like entertainment and stuff like that.
Elaborate.
Okay. So something. Did they, like, was it easy to do what they were doing, or did they need to make an effort? Excellent. All right. So that's practically the lesson, but we're just going to go through each letter again. And some of the answers you gave, I didn't have in mind, but they're still excellent answers. I focused on, you know, a few points for each letter. A, I started off with, say, act. They took action. They took godly action. They took positive action. And what is the fifth book of the New Testament called after the Gospel?
Acts.
The book of Acts, right? And it's also called the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Or the most accurate name is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Okay? You good with me? So they took action. They weren't passive. They were looking, they were sent, and they were very careful in taking action for the salvation of themselves and others. They also activated the Holy Spirit in their lives and service. If any of you guys have a mobile phone? In the mobile phone, there's a little chip called a SIM card. When you first get it, you or your siblings or parents had to activate it. If you put it in your phone and you don't activate it, you can't use your phone. You have the SIM card, but you haven't activated it. Any of you guys have a credit card? You get the credit card in the mail. There's a little sticker usually on it. Tells you sign the back and call this number or go to this website to activate it. If you try to use your credit card before you activate it, it's not going to work. Yes, you have the credit card. You've been approved, but you can't use it. Okay? Now, these are weak analogies. The Holy Spirit is not like a SIM card or a credit card, obviously. But the Holy Spirit has been given to each of you, have been baptized and confirmed. So the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. But some of us leave the Holy Spirit there and put him in a corner, whereas others activate the Holy Spirit to work with us on a day-to-day basis. There's a difference, right? So they activated the Holy Spirit, meaning they allowed the Holy Spirit to be active in their lives. And the third point I want on the letter A is authority. The Lord Jesus Christ gives you all and gave them authority to overcome evil. So again, let's review. On the word act, St. James tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And you know, every time we're going to read the gospel in church, Father will pray this litany of the gospel. He says, O Master, Lord Jesus Christ, he continues and he says, make us worthy to hear and act according to your holy gospels. It's not enough to hear, oh, that was a nice reading. Oh, that was very nice what Jesus did to heal that man and stuff like that. There's a message for you. You need to take that message and act upon it. That's why the readings are read. So number one, we said A is act. Okay? Again, activating the Holy Spirit is allowing him to work in your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, and they are very polite God. They're going to knock on your heart, but if you don't open the door, they're not going to force themselves in. And we each were created without our involvement. However, none of us can be saved without us taking action and saying, yes, I want to be saved. Meaning, like, no, God's not going to throw any of us into heaven, because then we'll say, no, I never wanted to come here. No, you have to willingly want to go with the Lord. So you have to willingly activate the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to work in your life. Otherwise, the opposite is, the Holy Spirit could be telling me to do something and I'm not listening. So the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit's still within me, but He's sad. He's not happy at what's happening. And we are told in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. Sealed means like you were anointed. You were confirmed for the day of redemption. Means you're confirmed so that the Holy Spirit can help you in your day-to-day life so that you can make it to the afterlife. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. Right? If you have a candle, and in the middle of the night, pitch dark, and so you light a candle, you could see. But if you quench the candle, you can't see. Right? The Holy Spirit is guiding you and enlightening your life. But if you just tell Him, I don't want to hear you what you're saying, you're quenching. Again, we are warned, do not quench the Spirit. Another thing is resisting. Okay? Someone could be telling me, come to church or come to confess, and I'm resisting. Or someone can tell me, don't go to that place, it's not good for your benefit, and I'm resisting. I want to do what I want, I don't want to hear. Listen, we don't want to be like what St. Stephen says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There are spirits you should resist, and we're told, do resist the evil spirits. St. James says, submit to God, resist the devil. Okay? And you know what is the spirit of God versus the spirit of the devil. So resist evil, submit to God, activate the Holy Spirit. Authority. Okay? The Lord sent the 70 out, and they came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were able to cast out demons. And He says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So how come we're still hurt? If the Lord says, I gave you power over all the evil, how come we still get hurt? The devil can't approach you, so how come sometimes you fall in sin? Exactly. When the devil is way off in that corner, and the Lord told me, stay away, but my own free will, I went there, so I got hurt. But the devil can't force himself upon any of you. Yes, he can send you thoughts. He can send you things to tempt you. But if an image comes across which is not beneficial, I can cast it away and I have eyelids to close. Similarly, I have coverings for my ear. Most importantly, for my mouth, I don't only have lips to cover my mouth, I even have a row of teeth. So if a word's going to come out that's maybe not a good word, the Lord's given us two sets of doors to close our mouth. So yes, the devil could try and implant things to trip us up, but he can't force himself upon you. We've been given authority over all evil. We trip up when we kind of get curious in a bad way. If you want to get curious in positive things. Okay, so what are the three things we said for A? Excellent. Act, activate, and authority. Now let's focus on the letter P. You guys told me already, pray and praise, which is the highest form of prayer, and preach. But with preach, we have to put a little, like, in parentheses, footnote, preach when prepared. It's better to preach by my action than to preach with my words. If I want to preach with my words, I really have to study and be prepared. Like, I couldn't come here and just talk to you about live like the apostles and make it up, right? I had to study what the apostles' teachings was. I had to study what the forefathers were saying. I had to do my research and plan accordingly. So yes, when you're ready, preach. but first by your actions and first teach myself before I try and pass it on. Be instruments of peace. This is really important in the world today, and what we mean by peace is not just fake outward peace, it's an inward peace. The Lord, when he sent out his disciples, he said to them, when you first enter a house, first say peace to this house. And that peace they're giving, they're a channel of peace. It's not their peace. Like, Andrew's not giving the peace of Andrew. He's giving the peace of God. Sometimes you say peace to this house, and they don't want the peace. So that's fine. You can't, like we said, the Lord himself does not force himself upon anyone. You yourself can't force the peace. He says, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on that house. If not, your peace will return to you, no problem. Okay? So you are instruments of peace, but you can't twist someone's arm and force it upon them. Another thing we could say for peace, and certainly in the lives of the apostles, they went through a lot of tough things. They persevered through persecutions, through trials. And they leaned on the paraclete. What does paraclete mean? It's a Greek word. Paraclete means comforter. The Holy Spirit, we refer to the Holy Spirit as the paraclete, as the spirit of comfort, or the helper, the Holy Spirit. So they were comforted by the comforter, by the paraclete, and they were preserved by the power of God. When you pray the morning prayer, there's this short piece before you get into the Psalms where we say, come, let us kneel down, let us ask Christ our God, come, let us kneel down, let us beseech Christ our Savior, come, let us kneel down, let us entreat Christ our Savior. O our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, our God, through the intercession of Saint Mary and all your saints, preserve us and bring us to a good start. Preserve us means keep us, guard us, protect us. Okay? The Lord preserves each one of us, and as he did with the apostles. So the apostles prayed, praised, preached. The apostles were instruments of peace. The apostles persevered through trials and tribulations and persecutions, were comforted by the paraclete, and preserved by the power of God. On prayer, does anyone want to read this in a loud, booming voice, or do you want me to do it? Anyone? Any volunteers? Just making sure you're with me. Anyone, go for it. Start reading. Go ahead. And by a loud voice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will see you rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, I want us to all say this part together. The peace of God, which surpasses, let's all together. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of the world does not surpass all understanding. The peace of the world comes and goes. It's almost like the weather. It could be sunny, it could be windy or whatever. Peace here, not peace there. Happy with them, they said the wrong thing, it hurt my ear, whatever. That's not real peace. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. The peace of God is everlasting. The peace of God is internal. Internal means inner peace. It means even if the weather's bad, I'm still at peace. Even if they're persecuting me, I'm still at peace. That's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. There's a story in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas were imprisoned. And at midnight in the prison, they were praising God, singing singing praise to God. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The apostles are in prison, and even in prison, they're preaching. They found a way to praise God and to preach the word of God to the prisoners. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. That's the power of prayer. So here we see the apostles were even praising while in prison. Being a messenger of peace. The Lord himself says, peace I leave with you. My peace, not the world's peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The words of the Lord are always comforting. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? The Lord is here to help us in our day-to-day life to reach him. We mentioned that when the Lord sent out the 70, he said to them, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. So we're all called to be messengers of peace. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Persevere. St. Paul, especially, but all the apostles went through a lot of trials, persecutions sometimes from the Jewish nations, persecutions from the Gentiles, from those who worship idols, persecutions all around. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. All this means to say, the Lord knows each one of us and each one of you. And he'll give you the cross that you're able to handle. The Lord's not going to give you a cross which is going to crush you. Sometimes it may feel that way. Just go back to the Lord saying, I can't bear this. This feels like it's crushing me. But we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Okay, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Meaning that just like we want to live with the Lord, we accept to suffer with the Lord. But again, the Lord's not going to give you any trials or sufferings that he knows. He'll only give you what he knows you can handle. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You are all called to be images of Christ. We need Christ's light to shine within our lives. Now, how to persevere? It helps when you know where the end is. The end is not the end of my life here, say 60 years, 80 years, 100, 120. The end is what's to come. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, obviously we are all in the body perishing. Like, we're going to leave this flesh at some point in time. So even though, God bless you, you're all in your youth and your prime, but sometimes you're going to get older, and we're all, it's a natural process. So even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Your soul, your spirit is being renewed day by day. For, now listen to this part, verse 17, our light affliction... St. Paul went through heavy afflictions. He went through a lot of troubles. He was thrown in, he was stoned. He was at the point of death. He was lashed. He says 5 times he was whipped, like severely whipped. But he calls all that light affliction. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he's reminding us, our time here, whatever troubles we're going through, however long they are, is but for a moment compared to eternally, and is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's basically saying you can't compare. Yes, you're suffering. Some of us go through various trials, but it's nothing compared to the glory that's prepared for you. And again, I remind you, no one is given anything above their ability. The Lord knows what you can handle. Okay? That's on persevere. So let's review. I know we said a lot of things on the letter P. Can someone just summarize? Maybe summarize a few things about P.
Praise.
Action. Excellent. Yeah.
Preserve.
Yeah. Be preserved and persevere.
Preach
when you're ready. And peace. Excellent.
Yeah.
So let's go to O. Any questions on the stuff so far? Okay. So O. We're going to say obedient. They were obedient to God. They were submissive to God. And we mentioned they were organized in their service. Remember when the Lord sent them out to feed the 5,000? The Lord fed the 5,000 from how many loaves? 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish, right? And he told the disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. He didn't say go randomly, haphazard, here's a piece of bread or whatever. He made the crowd sit down in groups of 50. There were 5,000 men. There's probably 15,000 to 20,000 altogether, counting the spouse, the women and the children. So he made them sit down in groups of 50, so about between 100 and 400 groups, like little camps. Okay? So they were organized. Obedience to the word of God, the Lord Jesus himself, in his final message to the disciple before he would go to the cross, which are captured in John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. Those five chapters focus on very deep messages the Lord's giving to his disciples before he would go up to be crucified. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, obey. And again, he repeats in the next chapter, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And the commandments of the Lord are not just the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. He's elevated us to another level because he's given us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us. In the Old Testament, he didn't tell them, love your enemies, right? But here he says, love your enemies, pray for those who hurt you, okay? So the upper picture there is showing the Sermon of the Mount, in Matthew chapters 4, 5, and 6. That's like the core of Christianity. So that's the Lord's commandments, not just the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. And St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, he is very happy. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. So obey the word of God, and we receive the word of God through the Bible, through the message of the Bible, the word of God, and through the teachings of the church fathers. Obedience to the word of God. They were also organized. St. Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. We're sometimes very good at being organized in, say, sports. If one of you wants to set up a co-ed team or whatever, soccer or volleyball or whatever, we're organized. We know how to call our friends. We know how to register by the set date to pay the amounts. The same with our spiritual life. We need to be organized. I need to research my own self to see what are my weaknesses. How do I get better at those things? It takes organization. It doesn't happen haphazardly. Let all things be done decently and in order. And like we mentioned in the feeding the 5,000, the Lord taught them how to be organized. He said, make them sit down in groups of 50. So what did we say for O? We only said two things for O. What did we say for O back there in that corner?
Obedient
and?
Organized.
Thank you. All right, we're going to keep going. Is this too fast or too slow? It's okay? All right. S, we're going to say serve. They were sent by God to serve God's name and God's people. Similar to obedient, they submitted to the will of God. We each have a will, which is a gift from God. As humans, we have a will to choose to do what we want to do. We could choose to obey God, or we could choose to resist his will. So they submit to God, we submit to God. And we need to take our spiritual life seriously. Sometimes we're like, you know, we take our schoolwork seriously. I know you all do. When we get a job, whether temporary or part-time or full-time, we take those things seriously because we know, like, if I don't do a good job, I could get fired or I could get my pay docked or whatever. We also need to take our spiritual life seriously, which I know you all are, but this is a reminder. Seeking the salvation of ourselves and others. We are all sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized and we've been confirmed, so we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We also need to take the sacraments seriously. The Sunday, obviously, and on whenever we hold a liturgy, is the sacrament of communion. And preceding it on a regular basis, we should review our lives and come partake of the sacrament of confession and repentance. Okay, so serve. And when we say serve, we're not saying, you know, you have to go to South America or Bolivia or Africa or whatever. That's perfect to do. But first, are you serving at home? Are you leaving the chores for others, or are you partaking? Are you lifting a hand when, say, mom and dad come with groceries or whatever? Or are you just like in your own space? So before I serve outside the home, I have to be serving in the home. If I have a younger brother or sister who's in need, to study or whatever, am I encouraging? Am I helping at home? then there's service at the church with my spiritual family, and then with proper preparation, there could be service abroad. And serving means giving. Sometimes people say, I have nothing to give. What do you want me to give? Well, you have time. Each one of us has 24 hours in the day. I don't get 27 and you don't get 22. We all have 24 hours, so we all have time. Now, some of us get busy with various things, but that's okay. We could always make time. We all have effort to give resources, whether money or stuff to help out. And no matter what, we can all give a smile. We can all give a kind word. We can all lend a helping hand, okay? Most importantly, whatever you give, whether time, effort, or whatever, do it out of love. Like, it's not, especially in service, you don't want to be like, I have to serve. No, you don't have to serve. You have a free will. If you're going to do it, if you're going to serve, serve with love, serve with a smile. Okay, the little boy who gave everything he had, but it was very little compared to the need. He gave the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in the hands of the Lord. To him, it was everything he had. But if you look at the problem at hand, the multitude, 5,000 men plus the women and children, what's that going to do? But he gave to the Lord, and the Lord blessed the little into feeding the multitude. Serve. Submit to God, being serious about your salvation. St. James, again, we talked about this verse already, says, therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sometimes the devil, like we said, he's far away and we go to him. But if the devil tempts us from near or far, if we resist him by the sign of the cross, resist him not based on my own power or holiness. Resist him means use the power of God to resist him. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. It's a promise from God. And St. Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand, meaning no matter how young or old you are, compared to eternity, like the end is at hand, because basically this is only a temporary life we're living in now. So therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And St. Peter says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Means take your salvation seriously. Fear and trembling means like we're not being called to like, oh, I'm worshiping God because I'm scared he's going to zap me if I eat, you know, if I drink milk on a Wednesday or Friday. That's not how the Lord works. Fear and trembling means like you take it seriously, just like you do your responsibilities in school or whatever, in your work. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean we're terrified of God. It means we revere the Lord. Okay, you recognize, like if a prime minister or if the Queen of England in the UK were to come in a room, there's reverence, Peter. Even when His Grace was here this morning, if you were here early, as soon as His Grace entered, we sang a hymn to welcome him, right? We give him the proper honor and respect. How much more the Lord of hosts? On the sacraments, you all know the importance of the sacrament of communion, so I don't need to say much, but it's interesting to see that in this one verse, Acts 2nd chapter, verse 42, they talk about all the elements of the divine liturgy. He says, they continue together in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. Breaking of bread is the communion. Prayers is all the prayers. The Abuna prays for the peace of the church, for the different hierarchies, for each one of us. He prays for the sick. He prays for those traveling. He prays. There's a lot of prayers, and there's a lot of silent prayers that are, you can go through them, and for example, the Coptic Reader app, that are very deep, that the fathers are praying on our behalf. Doctrine is the teaching, so all the readings that we have in the liturgy, that's the doctrine. The sermon, like His Grace's sermon today, that's the doctrine. And fellowship is at the end of the liturgy, we typically take a piece of the Orban of bread, or in pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID, we sat together for a meal of fellowship together in love. So that's the elements of the liturgy. I can't emphasize enough the importance of communion for our spiritual growth. So what was S all about? Someone who hasn't spoken yet, don't be shy. In the back, some service, excellent.
Submit.
Sealed and sacraments. And taking our spiritual life seriously. Perfect. All right, T. We're going to say trust in God, so faith in God. Two by two, or teamwork. Together, they were together in the upper room, united in prayer and in faith, testifying and teaching. Trust in God goes without saying. In Proverbs, we hear, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Yes, you're called to study and to learn and all that stuff, but trust in God more than in your own, not on your own understanding. And with all your heart. Doesn't mean trust in God, but like, I also trust in my own wealth, or I also trust in my own health. God give you health and wealth, that's fine. But that's not the things you should lean on. You should trust the Lord with all your heart. He sent them out two by two. And that reminds us, you know, to work hand in hand with each other. They were together. I'll just read you from the first chapter of Acts. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. So that's the 12, right? That's the 12? I lied, that's the 11, because obviously Judas had perished already. So that's the 11. And they would later elect and pray and choose Matthias to be joined so that they can be a complete 12. The number 12 has deep meanings, right? If you factor 12, you get 3 times 4. 3 is obviously a symbol of the Holy Trinity. And 4 is a symbol of all the directions on the earth, making this sign of a cross. East to west, north to south. So 4 times 3 is 12. So it was important that they keep, just like they have the 12 tribes in the Old Testament, they have the 12 disciples or apostles in the New Testament. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Saint Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And in Acts chapter 4 it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Powerful prayer. It's not, my prayer at night doesn't shake anything, unfortunately. I mean, sometimes I'm so tired, it's like you're not really, just say the Lord's Prayer and you think that's a good end to the day. No, there's some mandatory prayers you should make sure that you don't skimp on. The place where they assembled together was shaken, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. They were together, they were reunited, and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed were his own, but they all had all things in common. That's together. Okay, so what was T? We're almost there. T, trust in God. Teamwork.
Testifying
and teaching. Excellent. And two by two. L, okay. Love, we're obviously called to love God first and to love each other. And when I say love each other, it's through the love of God. This is, we're talking about the pure definition of love, the sacrificial love, not the corrupted view of love that's sometimes in worldly songs or spread through movies and stuff like that. Love God and love others. They're led by the Spirit of God, meaning they are spiritual. And the opposite of spiritual is carnal. If I'm spiritual, then my spirit is being led by the Spirit of God, so I know I have a good end in the Lord, in life and peace. If I'm carnal, then the flesh is leading my thoughts and my actions and would lead me away from the Lord into a life of death. We are called to be light to the world, to live a Christian life. So love, Jesus said to he was asked about what are the greatest two commandments. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, and the second commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, the Lord tells his disciples, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He didn't say, by this they will know that you are my disciples, if they see the miracles and power and all this stuff. He said, no. The sign that you are a disciple is you have fellowship and love to one another. Led by the Spirit, allow me to read to you from Romans chapter 8. He says, There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a very comforting message, because condemnation means you're condemned to death. And here he's talking about eternal death, like going to hell. So therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Means Christ took all of our sins and he accepted to crucify himself to be crucified, and our sins to be condemned. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us who? In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's saying, all this stuff I'm saying is on us who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, naturally. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if you're going to be a spiritual person, you're going to be thinking spiritual thoughts. If you don't want to be a spiritual person, if you want to be a carnal person, you're going to be thinking of the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So if I insist on having a carnal mind, that I'm declaring that I am not at peace with God, I am an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So if you don't have the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning you haven't come and accepted to be baptized and confirmed, you don't have the Spirit of God. Or if you have been baptized and confirmed, but you reject the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you are not Christ, if you do not accept the Spirit of God. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. All this to say is allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, so that you are not, you're like going up a hill. So to go up a hill, you need to make effort and you need to allow the Spirit to elevate you. If you just say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, and you let go of the Spirit, you're not going to stay still. You're going to roll down. You're going to roll down to a carnal state, led by the Spirit. Live a true Christian life so that we can be light to the world. St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. He's saying this obviously before his martyrdom. So what do you mean by you've been crucified with Christ? It means I'm no longer living a sinful life, because Christ has crucified those on the cross. So I want to crucify all those sinful thoughts. So I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not living for Christ for no reason. Christ shed his blood so that I could live forever. Christ took my sins so he can give me his righteousness. So it's only right that I'm going to live a life for Christ. because so I no longer live I, it's Christ who lives in me. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Lord also said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So which is it? Is Jesus the light of the world, or are we the light of the world? How can you reconcile? Jesus just said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. Which is it?
Life, a Christian life through him, shouldn't we also be like him?
Yes, exactly. So Christ will shine through us. The when he says, I am the light of the world, he is the light of the world by essence. He is light. He is love. He is life. When he says, you are the light of the world, it says, Christ's light is shining through you. So you are there to give the light of Christ to the world. It doesn't mean you are a source of light. Jesus is a source of light. But his light shines through us, so we become lights of the world. If we take of his light and allow it to show forth. All right, that was the letter L. Maybe in the red shirt back there, a few things about the letter L that we talked about. I know we talked about a few and quickly. What did we say? What was it we were just saying about the letter L? We said about light, right? So we said you're called to be live a Christian life so that it could be light to the world. We said about love. What else did we say? Led by the Spirit of God. And these all go hand in hand. You can't be a light to the world or living a Christian life if you're not led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So they all go hand in hand. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you would naturally love God and love others. A-P-O-S-T-L. We're at the last letter, okay? This one will go quick. So E, we said before, effort. Okay, we're saying, and S, we said we're going to take our spiritual life seriously. And E, we're saying we're going to make an effort. While I'm talking about this, can you hand out just take one. It's a double-sided piece of paper. It has a green and a yellow side. I'll tell you what to do with it in just 1 minute. And take a pen. And what you're going to write on these, you're going to keep. So you could write whatever you want. Don't write anything just yet. Okay? So E, we're going to make an effort. Okay? Just like if we want to learn piano, we make an effort. If I want to be good at a sport, at soccer, I need to make an effort. I need to stretch. I need to go to practices. Same with our spiritual life. We need to make an effort. E, like the apostles, we want to also be engaged and energetic. And E, we want to, they evangelized. Evangelize means spread the word of God. But spreading the word of God doesn't just mean I say stuff. It means I have to do stuff. Because if I just say stuff and don't do that stuff, then I'm being hypocritical. And that's not spreading the word of God. Okay? In fact, that's doing the opposite. There's a verse that says, unfortunately, he's speaking sorry, he says, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed. Meaning, for example, if I'm a Christian, and yet I'm not living a Christian life, people who are not Christian will say, that's what Christians do, that's not right. Look what... And, you know, their book says to do this, and they're doing the opposite. Hypocrites, right? So if I'm going to evangelize, it's more important to evangelize by my positive godly action than it is by my words. And if I'm going to spread by words, then A, I have to be prepared. I have to study well the Word of God so I'm not sending an incorrect message. And I have to make sure I'm living what I'm saying. Does that make sense? Okay, so on effort, we need to make a serious effort. Let's start by serious effort to repent. And by the way, repent doesn't mean anyone's bad. All the saints repent. Even the saintliest of saints repent. Because repent has two dimensions. If God wants me to go there, but I'm going there, the first step in repentance is to turn back. But that's not it. The second step is God wants me to go there and go closer to Him. So even if I'm not doing anything bad, repenting means doing more good. Okay? So we need continual repentance. No one's like, I've reached this level, I'm good, right? We're all, and as we come closer and closer to Him, we said He's the source of light, right? So when I come closer to the light, I see some blemishes that perhaps I didn't see before. So I need to work with Him, through Him, to clean those blemishes, right? If I'm wearing like, if the ladies are wearing like a white beautiful dress, or the men are wearing a white tuxedo, and they were sitting in a dark room and someone spilled something on it, maybe they don't see it in the dark, but when they come close to the light, they see that they have tarnished their garment, and they could cleanse it in the blood of the Lord. So the apostles themselves needed to repent. You all know the story of St. Peter, how he said to the Lord, if they all deny you, I'm never going to deny you. And then the Lord said, excuse me, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, Peter. But then listen to what happened afterwards. And the Lord turned, the Lord was being, mistreated there, and Peter was standing in the garden, kind of watching at a distance. And every time someone would come to Peter, he said, you also were one of his. He said, I don't know the man. And he denied the Lord three times. Then the Lord from far just glanced over to Peter. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, Peter. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Okay? He didn't lose hope. He did feel bad, and he wept bitterly. He regretted what he had done. But he repented. Unlike the other disciple who sold the Lord, you know, Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Then he felt bad as well, and he came back and gave the 30 pieces back, and he said, I don't want this money because I have betrayed innocent blood. And they told him, what's that to us? We don't want it. And then he went, he didn't repent. He went and lost hope. And losing hope in God is one of the most dangerous sins. He lost hope and he committed suicide. If he had come back to the Lord, even with having done such an awful thing, the Lord would have forgave him and accepted him. But he didn't. The problem is that he gave up hope and he committed suicide. Peter wept bitterly and repented. Okay? So Peter repented. Paul, St. Paul, you know, St. Paul, before he became turned to the Lord, was persecuting Christians. And when they were stoning St. Stephen, the deacon and the first martyr, they were stoning him. St. Paul was sitting there guarding the clothes of the men who were stoning Stephen. But then the Lord appeared to St. Paul while he was en route on the road to Damascus to go persecute Christians. The Lord appeared to him and he said, St. Paul said to him, who are you, Lord? The Lord appeared to him and he was blinded. He could hear the voice. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Conversion, repentance, right? So here we see, we said last Monday we celebrated the departure or the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul. I just wanted to give you an example. Saint Peter and Paul also repented. And each of us, like I said, need to repent. So the first thing on effort is a serious effort to repent. Serious effort to serve. Serious effort to give. People hurt us, so sometimes we need a serious effort to forgive and to love. We also need to make a serious effort to be engaged. During, for example, the liturgy, to pray along with the people. We need the two aspects of prayer. We need the prayer at home in our rooms, one-to-one prayer, personal experience with the Lord. But we also need to come together as a spiritual family and pray in the liturgy. Midnight praise. I'm hoping more and more of us start coming to midnight praise, because praise is the highest form of prayer. Engaged also in helping and in serving, and energetic in the same prayers, repentance, and service. And if you are called to preach or evangelize, like we said, spread by example is more important than spreading by words. Okay? So what did we say about E? Someone who hasn't spoken yet.
Someone who
In the back corner there, what did we say about E?
Make an effort.
Make an effort to do what?
You guys like to serve God.
Yeah. To serve God and to forgive and to love, but most importantly, first make an effort to come closer and closer to God in repentance. Okay, I'm going to ask you, so here's a little placemat that summarizes what we talked about. And God bless you, you've been very patient and you've been very attentive and interactive. Now, there's something that I would like you to do for the next week or two. Okay, so on the piece of paper, you have a green side and a yellow side. First, on the green side, pick any of these attributes that you're already doing, but that you want to do more of. Just pick one, any letter, and put it down on the green side. Okay, I'll give you 15 seconds. Don't overthink it, because they're all good things. So just pick something that you are doing, but you could do more of.
My pen doesn't
work. Is there another pen? Thanks, Nate. Okay. You need another few minutes? Okay. So then on the yellow side, pick something that you're not really doing much of, if any at all, that would be beneficial to your spiritual life to do. So we said on the green side, pick something you're doing, but that you could benefit from doing more or doing better or doing more actively. Now on the yellow side, please pick something that maybe is tripping you up or you haven't really thought of doing at all, that you could try and focus your effort and your prayers to help you to do more of. Now that double-sided piece of paper is actually just two stickies. So all I'm going to ask you to do is when you get home, put those two stickies somewhere on your bed frame or on your desk or whatever. And for what are we today, the 18th? For the rest of July, so for about 2 weeks, try in your morning and evening prayer just to consciously think about those two things and asking the Lord to help you and to help each of us with those two things. Is that okay? And I'm not forcing upon you. If you don't want to do this, you don't have to. But if you could, I think it would help. That's live like the apostles. Any comments or questions?
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. God bless you. Going once? Going twice? Alright, so let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our Lord, hear us through the intercession of St. Mary and all your apostles and disciples when we pray to you thankfully, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much, you too.
Thank you.